ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 12, Chapter 13, titled The Glories of Srimad Bhagavatam, verse number 19.
Kasmai kasmai yena vibhasito yamatulo jnana pradipa pura.
Kasmai yena vibhasito yamatulo jnana pradipa pura.
Tadrupena cha naradaya mune krishnaya tadrupina.
Tadrupena cha naradaya mune.
Yogindraya tadatmanada bhagavadrataya karunyatas.
Yogindraya tadatmanada bhagavadrataya karunyatas.
Tachuddham vimalam vishogam amrutam satyam param dhimahi.
Tachuddham vimalam vishogam amrutam satyam param dhimahi.
Kasmai?
Kasmai.
Unto Brahma.
Unto
Brahma. Yena?
Yena.
By whom?
Vibhasitaha,
thoroughly revealed. I am this,
Atulaha,
incomparable,
Jnana,
of transcendental knowledge,
Pradipaha,
the torchlight,
Pura,
long ago,
Tat
Rupena,
in the form of Brahma,
Cha,
and
Naradaya,
to
Narada.
Munaye,
the great sage.
Krishnaya,
to Krishna Dvaipayan Vyas.
Tadrupina,
in the form of Narada.
Yogindraya,
to the best of yogis.
Shukadev.
Tadatmana,
as Narada.
Atha,
then.
Bhagavad-rātāya
to Parikshit Maharaj.
Karunyataha,
out of mercy.
Tat,
that.
Shuddham,
pure.
Vimalam,
uncontaminated.
Vishokam,
free
from misery.
Amrutam,
immortal.
Satyam,
upon the truth.
Param,
supreme.
Dhimahi,
I meditate.
Translation.
I meditate upon the pure and spotless Supreme Absolute Truth, who is free from suffering and death, and who is the beginning personally revealed this incomparable torchlight of knowledge to Brahma. Brahma then spoke it to the sage Narada, who narrated it to Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasa. Srila Vyasa revealed this Bhagavatam to the greatest of sages, Shukadev Goswami. And Shukadev Goswami mercifully spoke it to Maharaj Parikshit. So here is a purport by servants of Srila Prabhupada. The first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam states, Satyam Param Dhimahi. I meditate upon the Supreme Truth. And now, at the conclusion of this magnificent transcendental literature, the same auspicious sound are vibrated. The word tadrupena, tadrupina and tadatmana in this verse clearly indicate that Lord Krishna himself originally spoke Srimad Bhagavatam to Brahma and then continued to speak this literature through the agency of Narada Muni, Dvaipayan Vyas, Shukadev Goswami and other great sages. In other words, whenever saintly devotees vibrate Srimad Bhagavatam, it is to be understood that Lord Krishna himself is speaking the absolute truth through the agency of his pure representatives. Anyone who submissively hears this literature from Lord's bona fide devotees transcends his conditioned state and becomes qualified to meditate upon the absolute truth and serve him. Om Ajnana Tivirandhasya Jnana Jana Shalakhaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So here we are almost approaching the end of Srimad Bhagavatam, because this is the 12th canto and this is the 19th verse. So only 5 more verses remaining, or 4 more verses remaining to finish this cycle of Srimad Bhagavatam. So in many verses in Srimad Bhagavatam that coming in this chapter, we were hearing that Srimad Bhagavatam is the essence of all Vedanta. It is the conclusion of all the Vedas. And now this verse is giving a meditation on the Supreme Lord, and the further verses also meditate upon the Supreme Lord for a purpose. Now if you try to understand the meaning of Vedanta Saram, or the essence of Vedanta, we have to understand that merely by academic study one cannot understand what is the conclusion of all the Vedas. One can study very thoroughly all the Vedas, still one will be completely confused. What is the real conclusion? That is the reason there are many conclusions for Vedic literature by many different personalities who are not exactly coming in a bona fide Vaishnava parampara, in a bona fide disciplic succession. Once I had a chat with one of the scholars of many of the Vedic literature, and he said he was studying Srimad Bhagavatam, and he said to me very clearly, he is not studying Srimad Bhagavatam in the perspective of devotees with devotion and ready to accept whatever is written in Srimad Bhagavatam. Rather, he is, first of all, he is looking into Bhagavatam from a historic perspective. So first of all, let's sort out historically whether the whole Bhagavatam, whether it is right. Then I will try to accept or reject whatever is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam. He also went through the disciplic succession that we have presented. If you open Bhagavad Gita, we can see in the first page itself, in the few pages later, you can see the disciplic succession starting right from Krishna and, you know, passing through Brahma, Narada, Vyasa, etc., and coming through Srila Prabhupada and coming to us. This parampara we can see. But he said, historically there is a big blunder in your parampara. There is a big mistake. He said, there is a big gap in your parampara, which is, you know, we cannot justify that. So he said, say here, very beautifully the parampara is given, and the purport very clearly mentions that if we receive knowledge through parampara, then Krishna himself is speaking. So here, very nicely mentioned, Kasmai Yena Vibhasito. So first, Krishna spoke Srimad Bhagavatam to Kasmai, unto Lord Brahma. Then it is mentioned, Tadrupena Cha Naradaya. Then Brahma spoke to Narada. And Krishnaya Tadrupena. Then by Narada to Krishnaya. Krishna there represents Krishna Dvaipaya and Vyasadeva. Then from there to Yogindraya, who is Shukadeva Goswami. And Tadatmana Atmana Atha Bhagavat Rataya. Bhagavat Rata is Vishnu Rat, that is Maharaj Parikshit. So here very nicely the disciplic succession is given. However, this person told me that from Madhvacharya, who is coming in our disciplic succession, and on top of him is Vyasadev. So he said Vyasadev appeared 5000 years back, whereas Madhvacharya appeared maybe a few more years than 1000 years, or around 1000 years. So how is it possible such a big gap? So historically speaking, it is unjustifiable. So he said, first of all, I don't believe in your disciplic succession. And okay, I will explain why there is a gap, that is, will come later. But he was studying, and after that he studied many literature, and next time I happened to go to his house, and I was sitting and we continued different discussions, and at one point I found it very difficult to sit in that place. The reason was the stinking smell of fish and meat coming from the kitchen. And I was just sitting there and in the discussion, talking different things, quite a bit of speculation from his side. Anyway, the smell was so intense. Then, even my face became a little, what is this, He's speaking the high philosophy, but at the same time, in terms of eating habit, it is very low class. Then, I think he could figure out that I was finding it a bit difficult to sit there because the kitchen was next and, the whole smell was coming. Then he himself said, now, maybe I should try to apply some of this knowledge from 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, which has Yama and Niyama, following some instructions and, rejecting something which is not really favorable for devotional service. So he's not coming to the platform of devotional service anyway, but at least he mentioned that, okay, at least I'll try to apply some principles. Then I'll start studying further the scriptures. So I felt a little bit comfortable. At least he wants to apply some principles. Because this is completely going off the track. Eating meat and, speaking about high-five philosophy, Vedanta and its conclusions. It doesn't go really well together. It doesn't make any sense. So we have to understand, from a scholarly perspective, one cannot understand or one cannot come to the right conclusions of Vedic scriptures. I remember when I came to Krishna consciousness, I came with a background of impersonal understanding of things. So whatever is spoken, I used to think that is impersonal. If you speak about Krishna, I naturally used to conclude, okay, there are different gods, there are different forms of the Lord. It is nothing but different transformation of impersonal Brahman. This is the Mayavas philosophy, accepting the Lord's body as material. So I used to think in that way. Initially I used to think, okay, we are worshipping Vishnu or Krishna, okay, that's fine. But at one point I started thinking, why there are different forms for the Supreme Lord? Then, I discussed this with my dad and came to this conclusion that everything is one. And everything is impersonal Brahman. It's just transformation of one, that Supreme Truth. That's it. So there is no more fight, there is no more confusions, because everything is one. So this was the conclusion. And with this understanding, when I came and when I approached devotees, then I got a completely different perspective. I got a copy of Bhagavad Gita as it is, which is coming through the cyclic succession, through the parampara. When I started reading, I wanted to understand the absolute. So I straight away went to chapter number 7, the knowledge of the absolute. And I started reading that chapter, again and again. I would take the chapter and I will read every day one time. Like that I was reading. And then, still, I came to this verse, Avajananti ma mudha manushim tanim ashrita. Not exactly that verse, before that. Avyaktam vikti maapannam manyande maam abuddhaya param bhavam ajananto maam avayam anuttamam. So I was reading this verse again and again, so then I was thinking, yeah, these people are telling that, Krishna is supreme, Krishna has a form, and I can't accept these things, because I am already convinced that everything is impersonal and everything is one. Then when I stepped to this verse and I was reading this, then I was thinking, look, here Krishna himself is speaking. Avyaktam vyaktim apannam. So foolish people, unintelligent people think that I never had a form, now I have accepted a form. So I was thinking, Krishna is telling, maybe it's true, but still I can't accept. Because I am completely convinced that ultimately everything is impersonal and these forms are temporary. I am convinced. So even Krishna is speaking, still I can't accept. Then of course, by Prabhupada's mercy, by devotee's mercy, I started coming to the temple. And when there was a big change, when in the heart I felt that I should do some service to the Supreme Lord. I am coming, I am having some prasadam, I am taking darshan. I should do some service for this temple. When that feeling came to my mind, at that point, I could start understanding Bhagavad Gita. So, just that point, that is that service attitude, when that was sprouted a little bit in the heart, then Bhagavad Gita made sense. Then the same verse made a lot of sense. And it is very interesting that if we accept the spiritual form of Krishna, when we understand Radha Vallabha is standing there and his form is not material and it is completely spiritual, it is Satchidananda Vigraha, it is the form of bliss, eternity and knowledge. If we accept that, then many things are revealed. In fact, we accept, okay, we have, everyone says we are all spiritual. Yes, it is true. But to accept that we have a spiritual form, that is very difficult. Okay, we have a material form which everyone can perceive, but to accept we also have a Satchidananda form, we also have a spiritual form, to accept that, one must understand that Krishna has a form, or the Supreme Absolute Truth has a form. From that understanding, one can understand, okay, we also have a spiritual form. From that we can understand there is a relation between us and Krishna. From that we can understand the Supreme Lord is inconceivable. He is Achintya. And His activities are Achintya, inconceivable. So without accepting the spiritual form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one cannot accept any of these things. Then to accept the spiritual form of the Lord, one has to develop a tiny bit of service attitude. Without, one cannot. As Dhamma says, Atheva te deva padambajadvayam prasada leshanugrahita evahi janaditattvam bhagavan mahimno nachanya ekopi chiram vichinnan. He says, with a lesha, lesha means a little bit. If one gets a little bit mercy of the Supreme Lord, then one can understand the greatness of the Supreme Lord. Without that, as we were discussing earlier, chiram vichinnan, speculating continuously or speculating forever, one cannot understand the Supreme Lord. One cannot understand to the conclusions of Vedanta. That Vedanta Saram is presented here in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. So the service attitude is the essence. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Bhaktiyamam avajananti abhijananti yavan yastami tattvataha. So when Krishna speaks that tattvataha, one can understand Krishna as He is through devotional service. So it also means that one can understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness only through bhakti, not through academic study. As we discussed earlier, the scholar who was just speculating, he couldn't understand the conclusion. Even a while ago I spoke to him, he was telling the form of the Lord is material. He was completely convinced. So this is the position of the so-called scholars, can't understand. Now, when it comes to devotees, to us, when we try to understand, this is the essence of all the Vedas, this is the highest knowledge, this is the topmost knowledge. If we really understand this point, then think what will happen to us. If we really accept that Srimad Bhagavatam is Vedanta Saram, if we are completely convinced that this philosophy is the highest, this is the complete knowledge. If we really understand, if we really convinced of this fact, then think what would have happened to us. Then definitely, if somebody is a student, so we were all many of us were students, some of us are students now. You know, before the exam, you know, with how much concentration one studies books, you know, during the night, during the day, with full attention, one try to get what is there in the book completely. Because thinking about exam, okay, I have to study, I have to understand. One will understand and one will write all these different things. And if there is a practical exam, one will actually try to get the knowledge and one will definitely apply this knowledge. Similarly, if somebody is working, if somebody is preparing for, you know, so-called, so many certifications are there in this world, right? Microsoft, this, Cisco, whatever. So many certifications are there. If somebody is actually preparing for that, so serious about the preparation, very carefully studies, makes notes, thinks, dedicated completely. So in the same way, if we approach Srimad Bhagavatam as devotees, with devotion, then the result will be amazing. The reason is, we seriously study Srimad Bhagavatam, and then when we are completely convinced, we try to apply it completely. So as devotees, we cannot be on the scholarly platform, just on the academic platform. We have to understand and we have to apply this knowledge. And it is interesting that when one actually understands Srimad Bhagavatam, or to the degree to which we understand Srimad Bhagavatam, we try to distribute this knowledge also. Because we understand the value of this knowledge. Yesterday, Bhakta Prabhu was giving few verses glorifying Srimad Bhagavatam, written by Srila Sanatan Goswami. So Sanatan Goswami is mentioning that is the life breath of devotees. Life breath. Meaning, our material body cannot sustain without life air. In the same way, our devotion cannot sustain without Srimad Bhagavatam. So we can see in case of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was in Jagannath Puri, when many devotees used to come to visit Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so the advice given by his secretary, Swarup Damodar Goswami, was, you study Srimad Bhagavatam. This was the common advice he used to give to everyone. Because Srimad Bhagavatam can actually give life to devotees, because it can give devotion. And when we are completely convinced, then we can distribute it with full force. Otherwise, we can definitely distribute with whatever conviction we have. In Krishna's pastimes, Krishna was in the forest of Vrindavan, and along with his friends. So he told his friends, it's a very nice verse, I'll read the translation. O Stoka Krishna and Amshu, O Sridham, Subal and Arjun, O Vrishapha, O Jassi, Deva Prishta, Varitapa, just see these greatly fortunate trees whose lives are completely dedicated to the benefit of others. Even while tolerating the wind, rain, heat and snow, they protect us from these elements. So, this is a context in which Krishna is glorifying the trees for the service while tolerating the scorching heat. This is in the context when Krishna is about to bestow mercy upon the wives of the yagic brahmanas. Because the brahmanas, even though they were worshipping the Supreme Lord in the form of yagya, they were reluctant to give any foodstuff for Krishna and Balaram, even though they were hungry. Whereas the wives of brahmanas, they were so simple that when they heard the names Krishna and Balaram, they gave everything that was kept for the sacrifice for the pleasure of Krishna and Balaram. So in this context, Krishna and Balaram and all his friends, they were in Vrindavan forest and they were mentioning, okay, just see the trees. So he mentioned the tree example due to one reason, that is he was mentioning even the trees are more merciful than these ritualistic brahmanas. Because even the trees are giving so much of shade and fruits and whatnot, like that. So in that purport, a very important point is mentioned. Certainly the members of the Krishna Consciousness Movement should soberly study this point. That is, after understanding Bhagavatam, one should understand that we also should act just like trees for the benefit of others. And this point is very significant today. Today, because in 1966, the same day, ISKCON was formed officially in New York. So, the whole purpose of the formation of this movement is that to distribute Krishna consciousness, to distribute Bhagavad Dharma. Because Srila Prabhupada, after writing Bhagavad Gita, even though he wrote Bhagavad Gita, he thought he was actually writing, he was mentioning that Bhagavad Gita, the philosophy is presented concisely, but the elaborate philosophy is not present in Bhagavad Gita. For that, I have to translate Srimad Bhagavatam and write purports to Srimad Bhagavatam. So with that intention, he completed first canto and then he embarked his journey to America. And today, 1966, he actually, New York, ISKCON was formed. So it's a very significant day and we had to meditate on this point. And in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the same verse in this context it is mentioned, evat janma saphalyam dehinam iha dehina deheshu pranair athe dhyavaja shreya acharanam sada. That is, it is the duty of every living being to perform welfare activities for the benefit of others with his life, wealth, intelligence and words. So the term here used is shreya acharanam sada. Shreya means it's not the material benefit. There is praya and shreya, as we know. Praya means the welfare which is temporary, which is applicable for one lifetime, or for many lifetimes, but on a material scale. So shreya means it is permanent, which is spiritual. So it is a duty of all the living entities to perform shreya. In other words, they had to help themselves spiritually as well as to help others spiritually. Or in other words, in our context, we can very clearly understand we have to distribute this knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, taking to the same analogy of trees, trees are doing two things. One is they are providing shade, right? If there is a hot day, if people are walking around, then a tree is giving nice shade. In Melbourne, I don't know, everyone is driving, so we may not appreciate so much the trees, but we know, back in India, for instance, if it's a hot day, walking in a few kilometers, then if there is a tree, it's very soothing, it's very comfortable. They are giving fruits, and they are giving bark, and they are giving the trunks, they are giving so many things. Or the whole existence of tree is beneficial for all others. And at the same time, the same tree is tolerating the heat. It is tolerating the weather. Whether it is rain, wind, or sunny, whatever, the tree is ready to tolerate. Now, if you think, how come the tree can tolerate all these difficulties and at the same time act for the welfare of all the living beings? How is it possible? The reason is, the tree is getting nourishment from the soil, from the earth. So it is getting water, it is getting, different nutrients in different forms. It is getting everything, whatever is required for its sustenance is getting from the earth, from the soil. So only because of that, the tree is able to help others as well as to tolerate the heat and cold. So in the same way, when we say, okay, we had to preach, we had to distribute this knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam, we had to understand we need nourishment. Without nourishment, one cannot preach. Okay, preaching will give nourishment, of course. But at the same time, we need direct nourishment from Srimad Bhagavatam. So without nourishment from Srimad Bhagavatam, we cannot actually preach. So one should feel, yes, I am actually enjoying Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, we are serving Srimad Bhagavatam, but because of that serving Srimad Bhagavatam, we are actually getting enjoyment. That is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. In Krishna consciousness, we don't try to enjoy Krishna. We don't try to enjoy anything in Krishna consciousness. We do it as a service. But at the same time, when we do that, we get nourishment, we get enjoyment. So that is a natural result, that is secondary. So Srimad Bhagavatam provides wonderful descriptions about Krishna's names and its glories. Because for us, for our nourishment of Krishna consciousness, name of the Lord is so important. Because our sadhana is chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra every day. That too, 16 rounds minimum. It's not maximum, it's minimum. So that shows the chanting of Hare Krishna, the name of Krishna is so important that in the age of Kali. Now, Srimad Bhagavatam glorifies the name of the Lord. So Srila Prabhupada mentions, if one has to improve one's chanting, one should glorify the holy name of the Lord. In other words, one should develop deep glories, deep appreciation for holy names within the heart. Then one can actually improve one's chanting. So even in the purports, in the seventh canto, Srila Prabhupada mentions a couple of verses glorifying holy names, glorifying Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and mentions if you chant these verses every day, then naturally your chanting will improve. So one verse is Nikhila Shruti Mavali Ratnamala, it's a verse by Rupa Goswami, mentioning that even the liberated souls are glorifying the name of, glorifying Krishna's names, and even they are taking shelter of names of Krishna. And the other verse is from 10th canto, which is saying Nirvrta Dashir Upagiyamana, that verse, where if one can chant the holy name in the platform of completely attached to the material things, or one who is completely devoid of any material attachment. In any case, one can take shelter of holy name of the Lord. And Prabhupada mentioned, okay, you chant these mantras, these verses every day, and then you see naturally our taste for chanting increases. So if you haven't tried that, you can try that and see how one's taste for chanting improves day by day. So one should give it a try. So if we speak about chanting, when we chant, what happens? Okay, we try to hear the holy names, but at the same time, many thoughts come to our mind. And many times when we are chanting, one meditation is, how many rounds I have chanted. It comes very frequently. And we have to understand, when we actually get rid of that feeling, that thought, there is a big relief in our chanting. It's a big relief to our chanting. So when we chant, if we just hear the holy name, and the consciousness should be such that I don't know which round I am chanting. I don't know I am in the beginning of the mantra, beginning of the, you know, the beats, in the beginning of the beats, or the end of the beats, or the middle of the beats. If you get rid of all other these kind of thoughts, that is, okay, am I finishing my rounds? Or am I finishing, you know, is this 15th round or 14th round? If you don't remember any of these things, and if you just hear the holy name, it is a wonderful experience. We should aim for that. Now, mind is very tricky, because mind always pushes us to think these different things, you know, how many to go. And it's like a countdown, you know, a rocket countdown, you know, 10, 9, or, you know, 16, 15, 14, 13, like that. This countdown, that is really bad for us. It actually taking our attention from the holy name. First thing is, we have to decide the time when we are chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And understand, this time is completely blocked for chanting. And I have no other business than chant the holy names. So if we actually allocate that time for chanting, then it becomes much easier. Second thing is, I won't do my other business without chanting, you know, answering the phone calls, checking internet, reading books, or reading newspaper, or going out of the house. Any of these things I won't do without finishing the rounds, or at least finishing most of the rounds, if it is impractical. So if we have that time during the morning to chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, then it becomes much easier to get out from this kind of constant bothering thoughts. Because this mantra, the number of rounds I have chanted, and, you know, when will I finish my rounds, this is a constant botheration. And for many of us, it is a day-to-day botheration, right? It's a day-to-day botheration. Any time we start chanting, the first thought is, you know, how many rounds to go. So if we fix our mind, and if we just fix our time for chanting, then we can actually get out from this kind of consciousness. Then we see, oh, chanting is much better. Much better. So this glories of the holy name we can get from Srimad Bhagavatam. And as we develop more and more appreciation for Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, then our chanting improves. Also, another point, we think, okay, we do all these kind of different activities, our consciousness is all over during the day, all the time, in 22 hours, out of 24 hours, and we expect that this 2 hours for chanting, we have to be completely focused on Krishna. The fact is that it's not possible. It's not possible to be having a consciousness which is all over during 22 hours, and just for 2 hours, it is completely fixed on Krishna. We are actually asking for something which is impractical. So in other words, okay, we try our best to chant, but at the same time, we have to take this Krishna consciousness during our day. We have to try to be as much Krishna conscious as possible during our day, so that will help our chanting, and chanting will help our day and our other activities. It actually goes back and forth. Without that, one cannot actually improve one's chanting. It is not possible. So there, Srimad Bhagavatam plays very important role, because if we study Bhagavatam, that in itself is absorbing our mind in Krishna, thoughts about Krishna, pastimes, etc. So that will help our consciousness to be elevated from mundane platform to spiritual platform. That definitely helps our chanting. Then Bhagavatam provides beautiful descriptions of form of the Supreme Lord. So once I was reading one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam in the first canto, you know, it is describing how Krishna is going out from Hastinapur to Dwarka. So there is a beautiful description given about Krishna's form, how in the umbrella, the chamara was fanning, etc. It's a beautiful verse. And this verse, I was thinking, such a beautiful verse, because there is this apparent contradiction in the analogy which is given to glorify Krishna. It is mentioned there is sun, there is moon, there is the dark cloud, and there is rainbow. So Krishna's presence was the presence of all these four things simultaneously. So materially speaking, it is not possible to have sun and moon together. Both sun and moon are beautiful, but it is not possible to have sun and moon together. And when there is sun, there cannot be dark black cloud. And when there is strong sun and when there is dark black cloud and when there is moon, it is not possible to have the rainbow. So it is materially contradictory. But it's mentioned Krishna's form is such that the beauty of what we can describe in the material world, if you sum everything together, still it cannot reach the beauty of the Supreme Lord. And I was actually browsing through Nectar Devotion and I went upon one painting and I saw this picture and I saw, oh, this is Srimad Bhagavatam, this verse. So even the pictures, even the paintings, what we see in Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, these are actually expansions of different verses from Bhagavatam. Even the deity form of the Lord, we can see, okay, when we see the Lord, we can see different verses from Bhagavatam. So we can see the verses from Bhagavatam are known different from the form of the Lord. Because there it is manifestation of the verses of Bhagavatam. Even to the details, many points, if you see the Lord, we can see many things in Bhagavatam. So in this way, by studying Bhagavatam, by remembering Bhagavatam and applying, we should take shelter of Bhagavatam. Taking shelter of Bhagavatam means at time of problems, when we have any thought coming, we have to think how we can link it to the instructions given in Srimad Bhagavatam. The same principle applies to taking shelter of Bhagavatam in the form of morning program. Because in the morning program, Prabhupada has kindly introduced study of Srimad Bhagavatam. So if we hear Srimad Bhagavatam every day, one tendency is that we become quite mechanical in hearing. We hear every day, it's just Bhagavatam. I am hearing every day. It's, you know, it's just a very ritualistic. Has anyone felt that? If we hear Bhagavatam daily, it's just ritualistic. Maybe somebody comes in once a week, might think, okay, it's enlivening. But who is listening every day, one might think, you know, yeah, it's just, okay, today also Bhagavatam. There is no value to it. But if we understand, actually every day, it doesn't matter whoever speaks Bhagavatam. Since it is narrations about Krishna, if we submissively hear, thinking that, okay, this is Bhagavatam, Krishna is personally speaking to me, Srila Prabhupada is personally speaking to me, if we hear in that mood, whatever comes through, it becomes very well applicable for us during the day, on a daily basis. So this is the beauty of Srimad Bhagavatam. That's how we had to take shelter of Bhagavatam on a daily basis, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. So if we actually correct our mood in listening Bhagavatam, then we get much more benefited. And about studying Srimad Bhagavatam, I was hearing from Bhaktisar Prabhu a conversation between Narayani Mataji and His Holiness Mahavishnu Goswami Maharaj. So Goswami Maharaj, he is a walking Bhagavatam. For him, pretty much the whole Bhagavatam is in his mind, he is in his memory. He can recite, you know, the hundreds and thousands of verses from Bhagavatam. And he speaks, you know, wonderful lectures on Srimad Bhagavatam. So Narayani Mataji asked, because she herself, she says, you know, great, you know, she has a very deep understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam. She asked Maharaj how to study Srimad Bhagavatam. So that is, when I heard that, I found it's very interesting, because two great personalities, they are discussing how to study Srimad Bhagavatam, which is of our interest, because we need to study first of all to think about it or apply this principle. So Maharaj directly quoted a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the verse before this. So now we are reading the 19th verse of the 13th chapter. Maharaj quoted the 18th verse and he said the last line, that is, Tat Shrinvan Supathan Vicharana Paro Bhaktya Vimuchyan Naraha. So he said the process is, hear Srimad Bhagavatam, read Srimad Bhagavatam with devotion. Then one can actually understand Srimad Bhagavatam, one can apply in one's life. So the essential, the underlying principle is with devotion, with bhakti. It's not so easy. Because many times, you know, we approach Bhagavatam just like, you know, just out of duty, which is good. But at least we have to add that devotional element. Okay, this Bhagavatam is no different from Krishna. And Krishna is speaking to me. I need to understand something for my benefit as well as others' benefit. In that approach, if we go to Bhagavatam, then we see Bhagavatam is revealing many things to us. And then we can apply Bhagavatam in our life. And ultimately we have to develop that faith in Srimad Bhagavatam. So if we develop that faith in Bhagavatam, in our Guru, in Srila Prabhupada, then naturally the knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam will be revealed within our heart. And in particularly in this verse, there is invocation of Gayatri Mantra. Right? It is mentioned, Satyam Param Dhimahi. So this is the invocation of Brahma Gayatri. And we can see this invocation of Gayatri Mantra, we can also see in the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? Dhamna Svena Nirasta Kukukam Satyam Param Dhimahi. So there is a reason why Gayatri Mantra is invoked in the first verse and also here in the towards the end of Srimad Bhagavatam. In the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, Gayatri Mantra is invoked because one must come to Brahmanical qualification to understand the pastimes of Krishna. That too the intimate pastimes presented in Srimad Bhagavatam, like Rasalila. So purposefully Srila Vyasadeva in the first verse itself says Satyam Param Dhimahi. I meditate upon that supreme absolute truth. So without coming to the goodness and ultimately to Shuddha, which is Shuddha Sattva, which is beyond the material goodness, one cannot completely relish the pastimes of Srimad Bhagavatam. So initially itself, the qualification to understand Srimad Bhagavatam is mentioned. And now, coming towards the end of Srimad Bhagavatam, only four more verses left in Bhagavatam, here again, not Vyasadeva particularly, here Suta Goswami is invoking Gayatri Mantra, Satyam Param Dhimahi. So here the reason is, there is a particular reason, because in one or two verses from here we can understand the whole meditation is to engage completely in pure devotional service. So there is a prayer, the invocation is given so that one can meditate upon the Supreme Lord and be engaged in pure devotional service. So here in the conclusion, Suta Goswami is praying that let me complete engage in pure devotional service unto Krishna. So the prayer is to do some service for Krishna in the pure consciousness. And for that reason, here it is mentioned Satyam Param Dhimahi, that to elevate his consciousness. And in conclusion, I can mention that when a sincere devotee tries to understand Srimad Bhagavatam with devotion, then the Bhagavatam becomes revealed to us and we get nourished by Srimad Bhagavatam, and with that nourishment we can actually help others in understanding Srimad Bhagavatam and come to the spiritual platform. So is there any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu. I think it's a big ask at this point of time. So I can mention about the conclusions of Srimad Bhagavatam rather than going to each and every canto, because as we understand from second canto, it's mentioned the different 10 topics of Srimad Bhagavatam that is there. But at the same time, we had to understand conclusion, as Prabhuji was mentioning, quoting Janadharam Prabhu was quoting, Bhurijan Prabhu was mentioning, conclusion, ultimate understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam is that Krishna is a person. So Krishna is a person, and we had to understand after that Krishna is a spiritual person. He has a transcendental body, name, form, qualities and pastime. So and Bhagavatam is known different from Krishna. So we can understand the ashraya, the shelter is Krishna. And also the process of worshipping the Lord in this age is Nama Sankirtan. So that is the last verse, the concluding verse of the 13th chapter of 12th canto is that Nama Sankirtan. It is glorifying Nama Sankirtan. So if we can understand these two points, we can say yes, these are conclusions, concluding points. One is Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is a spiritual personality, and also worshipping Him through Nama Sankirtan, chanting the holy names of Krishna. So this is the ultimate, the concluding points I can tell regarding Srimad Bhagavatam.
First of all, thank you very much for a very nice class. One comment I want to say. On Wednesday, we were discussing Gopal Bhatt Goswami's second day. And you can see how hungry he was serving Krishna. He had direct association with Ketan Mahaprabhu himself. He was serving in South for nearly 4 months. And then when he came to Vrindavan, to Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, they were so highly praising him that they were writing Ketan Mahaprabhu messages how wonderful he was. Then he went on foot from Vrindavan to Gandaki River in Nepal, and he got some deities. He brought them to Vrindavan, but he was so wonderful that he wanted to leave them because he said, I am not qualified to serve these deities. So he went back to Gandaki River and he threw these deities, and they were coming back to him again and jumping. So the most important point for you to mention was humility. How humble the person should be when serving Krishna. So that's also important.
Thank you. Alex. Yes,
sir. We were mentioning about that, that gap between the parampara.
Yeah. I didn't mention. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Okay. A gap. Apparently there is a gap in the parampara, but at the same time we understand Srila Vyasadeva, he's not a personality who lived for 100 years. He's a personality who is still living. So Madhvacharya, he had a direct conversation with Srila Vyasadeva, and he showed his commentary on Bhagavad Gita to Vyasadeva, and he approved, and even So the Supreme Lord, he approved, and then he asked you, okay, write a commentary on Mahabharata and also on Bhagavatam. So it is completely under the supervision of Vyasadeva. That's how that parampara is without any break. But those who are lacking faith, those who are lacking devotion, they cannot accept these things. Because they want everything historically, meaning one can live average 100 years, so maybe 102 years, 110 years, that's it. They cannot accept the real facts because they lack faith.
So, two questions. You said he is still living, so is he still living in the
Badrikashram? Badrikashram. But if we go there, we may not be able to see him. So one has to be qualified to go and see him. Yeah. But he is there.
And is there any particular reference where it's mentioned Madhvacharya personally met him?
Yeah, in his... I can't tell you exact reference, but in his life history it is there. It's part of his life history. Madhvacharya met him, and there was a conversation with the great sages, Vyasadeva, and also he met Naranara and Rishi also. So Naranara and Rishi, Narayan means the Supreme Lord himself. They actually requested him to write a commentary on Bhagavatam. The reason is, even the understanding of Bhagavatam is apparently lost. It's not proper. So you establish that also. So that is the... And he showed personally his commentary on Bhagavad Gita to Vyasadeva. And Vyasadeva said, yes, this is the right conclusion. So it is approved by Vyasadeva. So there is no question of any discrepancy whatsoever.
Yeah. When we chanting the holy name, we think about if we are offending or we are clearing, should we think about that when we chanting?
No.
Make sure we are not offending or...
No, we don't have to think any particular thing. It's good to think that if the mind is going anywhere other than the holy name, then we can think, okay, this is an offense to holy name, rather bring this my mind back to the holy name.
We can think about, make sure we bring the mind back to
it. Yes, we have to. That is a practice that we need to do. Mind is going everywhere, then bring it back to the holy name.
Which are those mantras you mentioned to chant before we start chanting?
If you want to read that passage, it is in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. There is this famous verse, Sravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam, the purport to that, Srila Prabhupada writes. And the verses start from, one is Nikhila Shruti Mauli Ratnamala, it's a verse by Srila Rupa Goswami. And the next one is Nirvata Tarshi Rupa Giyamana, that's from 10th canto of Bhagavatam. Yes.
One more point is coming to my mind. Same Gopal Bhatt Goswami, when he brought his duty back, and one gentleman, this man, gave him a lot of jewelry and other things, the same duty transformed into full servant. So everybody who went to Vrindavan to see Radha Rama temple, very, very important, and you should not miss it. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Further questions? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Jantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.